This is getting serious. I didn't think it was going to get this serious, but here we go. Old Travis, he woke up on the highway outside of Heber, Arizona.
Heber.
All right. However they pronounce it down there. H-E-B-E-R, which is 30 miles west, southwest. Not so much south, but definitely west of Snowflake. Why is there a Snowflake, Arizona? I don't know.
It's like calling a fat guy tiny, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I ain't seen snow around here in 65 years.
Lil John from Robin Hood. He was a big guy.
Yeah. They just did it so, like, they would get all the skiers. They're like, damn it, there's too many people in Colorado. Let's go to Arizona and Snowflake. Let's hit the slopes in Snowflake.
But I don't think there's anything there. The hills were the Sid Graves Natural Forest. That's it. But there's not even, you have to ski down some sand dunes. So Travis, suddenly he was aware that he was on a highway, and he looked up and he saw the ship close its doors and just fly into the darkness.
Man, that's crazy, man.
So how suddenly he's on this highway and it's all dark, and then there's just floating lights zipping out into nowhere.
Yeah, I guess for a little bit it just floated there, like above the road.
Probably seeing if this thing could stand on its 2 feet, this bipedal thing.
Like, shit, did we fix him good enough? We couldn't even fix him because he just started throwing shit at us. That sounded like an alien underwater.
Under earth water. It flew off and it was totally silent, flying off in the distance. And he got to his feet, and then he realized what was going on, and he realized where he was, and he looked around and recognized the deserted stretch of curving road as the highway that wound down the canyon into Heber from the west. So he's on the west side of Heber, and he just started running down the highway. And he went to the newly built Union 76 service station to get to a payphone. This is the 70s, folks. There were payphones.
A what?
You had to do what?
You had
now?
To put money in it, dial the number. You only got a certain amount of time. Get your point out quickly.
If you made a collect call, if you just dialed the operator, what's an operator, you say? It's a zero for a reason. You hit that one a couple times, you'll end up getting somebody on the phone. That's a zero. That means operator.
Or?
Zero for operator.
You could call collect like that commercial, and Bob, we had a baby, it's a boy. She said, who was that, honey? Bob, they had a baby, it's a boy.
That was the best commercial ever. It's Bob, we had a baby, it's a boy.
But he Travis does it. He's like, it's Travis, I got abducted by aliens, I'm not dead.
What now? It's not Travis, what? You've been going for 5 days.
And they're like, who was that? Travis, he got abducted. He's not dead. It's old Trav.
What? Where's he at?
We're not going to prison? Hell yeah!
So if he got a hold of his brother-in-law, he ran down the highway. He didn't have a dime, so he just called the operator and called collect. He called his sister. She was the only nearby relative with a telephone.
What?
And this, really? That's what it says. She was the only nearby relative with a telephone. I'd looked up, where were they? They were south of Snowflake someplace. Taylor. That's what it was. Taylor, Arizona. It was south of Snowflake. So they were just a little further from the highway than everybody in Snowflake. His brother-in-law, Grant, answered the phone. It was 12:05 in the morning.
Look, you got to put that phone on Do Not Disturb.
You can't do that with rotary.
Leave it off the hook.
Oh, yeah. That's just what you want to hear all night. You know, I wonder if some of our listeners have no idea what the hell we were talking about.
I think that's how they feel most episodes. Not just a rotary phone or a pay phone.
Simulation theory? What are you guys talking about? Shadow people?
I listened to another podcast the other day about simulation theory. I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Travis was messed up. As best he can remember, he shouted something like, "They brought me back. I'm out here in Heber. Please get me somebody. Somebody come get me." And Grant, his brother-in-law, Garrett's like, "Yeah, whatever, dude. All right, yeah. I think you have a number wrong number. Whatever. No, it's me, Travis. All right, whatever, dude. Where are you?" "I'm at the Heber Exxon station." "Yeah, all right. We'll be there." So, you know, it's been crazy these last however many days.
Well, I mean, you got to think, they thought he was dead. They all assumed he was dead.
Right. Because Travis has no idea at this point. He has no idea how much time has passed. It's only dark. It's dark outside. He's like, 12:05. Okay, I've been gone for 5 hours. We left the woods at 6:30, 7 o'clock. It's 12:05. How did he know it was 12:05?
Maybe Grant told him.
I'm sure that was going to be the first thing Grant told him. Listen here, dude. It's 12:05 in the morning.
You better call me after the rooster crows.
But that's weird how he... How did he know it was 12:05? Maybe later on Grant told him, because this is all part of the book.
Later on, Grant was like, "Yeah, you call." It was like just after midnight. It was like 12:05 or something.
Then Grant, he drove the 3 miles from Taylor to Snowflake, which is Snowflake's just north of Taylor. And he found Travis's brother, Dwayne, at their mom's house. And Dwayne's little, I'd say he's on par with Alan Dallas. He's one of those roughneck boys. He likes to not necessarily get in trouble, but he starts it. Because later on, we'll find out that Dwayne, Travis's brother, Dwayne, and he gets in. He's not happy about how the law handled some stuff.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know about that. No.
You don't?
I don't think.
Well, I think it was during Travis's absence. Travis was gone.
I thought Dwayne was pissed off at the guys. Or am I just taking that? I think I'm just getting that out of...
You're pulling it from the movie?
It's difficult because you do the research and then you watch a movie on it. And, like, so then you're like, "Oh, no, I remember this." Like, "No, do I remember from the research or do I remember from the movie?" So then you get all confused.
I know, right? Now, I was pretty sure in the one podcast I listened to with Travis Walton, and I think the guy's name was David Charles or David James, something like that. That podcast, he was interviewing Travis Walton, and he was talking about his brothers were real mad that the police were just writing it off. And sure, they did the search party, but they were like, "He's gone? Well, where else are we supposed to look?" And Dwayne was all pissed off.
I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. If I was in Dwayne's shoes, I think I'd be pissed off too.
Yeah, you want everybody to do everything they can. You're staying up all nights the hour. You want everybody else to stay up all nights the hour looking for your family member, whether that's going to be whether they're going to be alive when you find them or whether, you know,
yeah.
If you find a body.
Yeah, I mean, you need the closure. You need to know what happened.
Yeah, after several days of this, now you're like, "Okay, well, I need to know what happened. I need something." So Dwayne's all pissed off. But they, Grant, the brother-in-law, grabbed Dwayne from Snowflake and they headed out to Heber. And they found Travis just huddling in this in a phone booth. You know what a phone booth is, right? You know, you're aware of those. I've used them.
I don't know if I've never used a phone booth. Like, I've seen, you know, you got pay phones, but a phone booth, I don't know if I've ever been in one.
Yeah, I've been in one. Got the phone book in there and everything.
They're usually chained up.
Yeah. The phone book's chained up. And if you're a Terminator, you just rip out one of the pages.
Of course.
It's fine. Nobody needs to know. You don't need to know. Nobody else needs to know about those 80 people you just ripped out. It's fine. But anyway, so Travis was. Well, they finally found Travis in the phone booth, and Grant was super happy to see him. Dwayne was super happy to see him, and they got him into the warm truck. And Travis was just freaking out. They were off white skin, great big eyes. Oh, Travis, just all right. Calm down. Are you okay? Did they harm you in any way? No, but those eyes are horrible eyes. They just kept looking at me. You're fine, right? You're just so you're okay. It's all that counts, Dwayne said. Everyone's been worried sick. And then Travis like, "If it's already after midnight, I must have been unconscious for a couple hours. Because I only remember about an hour or an hour and a half inside that thing. And then Dwayne and Grant kind of looked at each other like, Travis, dude, you've been gone for 5 days.
Boom.
And that would shock anybody.
What do you mean 5 days? He thought he was just unconscious for a few hours.
Right. Because he goes from 6, 7 o'clock in the field, if he can remember that much, getting knocked out in the field. And then suddenly he's on this highway. He gets to the phone booth. And by maybe the operator told him, or like you said, maybe Dwayne told him, no, Grant told him later on that it was 12:05 in the morning. Only been gone for a few hours. And what's the problem? No, man. 5 days.
And he was like, what?
Meanwhile, everybody else is under all sorts of scrutiny about what happened to Travis. Because Travis was gone. And so everybody decided to do polygraph tests, lie detector tests. I guess it must have been a bigger deal in the 70s. Because I think they've decided that they're not super conclusive for a court case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're not admissible in court now.
Oh, it's definitely a thing now. They're not admissible. 40 years later, they finally decide that. But in the 70s, they were all about it. So they put everybody through polygraph tests. And the thing is, all these guys passed the polygraph test. According to the tester then, at the time, except for Alan Dallas, who was already keyed up about everything. He's always fired up about stuff. Why am I here? What's this for? Rah, 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 rah. Yeah, that's him. Constantly. I don't need to be here. It's not what I want to do right now.
Right.
What are you doing to me? But everybody was conclusive, except for Alan Dallas's, because he just quit in the middle. Well, towards the end of it, but his was inconclusive. And that's what led them to believe that maybe Alan Dallas had something to do with Travis Walton's.
Well, they took these polygraphs while Travis was missing, correct?
Yeah, within 5 days. I don't think that would even remotely be a consideration in today's society, would it? 5 days? You'd have to go weeks through all kinds of red tape and luring up on all parties. And finally, after 3 months, somebody would decide to give you a polygraph test.
I don't really know. I mean, maybe because it was a sort of smaller town. So
yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, as we see it in this perspective, there was really, it seemed like there were two sides, and that was it. It was Travis and, well, Mike Rogers and all the workers, all his workers, plus Rogers, I guess his sister, really. Well, maybe not. I don't know if his sister was involved then. But anyway, Travis Walton's family, Travis Walton's sister, plus the brother-in-law, plus his own immediate family, Travis's, seemed like all of them were on one side. And then the police and the authorities were on the other side saying, this looks like foul play, boys and girls.
Yeah.
It just seemed like there was, like, what I've read, it just seems like there was a direct line between those people. But it seemed, I'm thinking maybe in today's world, if something that like that happened in 2020, Mike Rogers would have a lawyer, Alan Dallas would have a lawyer, Dwayne Smith would have a lawyer, Travis Walton's mom would have a lawyer, his brothers would each have their own lawyers, the cops would be one party, the cops' lawyers would be another party. It'd be a freaking mess. But at this time in 1975, it seemed like it was one side versus the other side, cut and dry.
No, I mean, maybe that's just how small towns worked back then.
Little old snowflake.
Yep. I mean, this is crazy. Because, like you said, they passed the polygraphs, except for old hot-headed Dallas. I'm almost positive the only, there might be two that Travis had failed after this incident. Maybe two. One I know of was actually on a game show called, what was it, Moment of Truth?
Yeah,
so they straight up asked him, were you abducted by aliens? He said, yeah, obviously. Like, what's he going to say, no? And then it was right. Like, that answer is not true. Or, you know, I don't know, is a lie, or, you know, however they say it.
Whatever they done on the game show. What year was that?
I don't know the year of that. But my issue with that is, who the hell knows that that's even legit?
Exactly.
That's not a...
Come on. They... No. Somebody behind the scenes could have easily just pushed the false button. And this is the false sound... what am I trying to say?
Yeah, like the soundboard. Lie. True. Lie.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. The soundboard. They just pushed the false soundboard button. This answer is false.
I guarantee you, I've never looked it up, but I guarantee you I can go right now into the App Store and I can find a lie detector test app. I guarantee it. I guarantee it's on here somewhere. It's all, like, those kind of things are bullshit. And I don't believe that game show one bit. The weird thing about this, though, is the fact that they were kind of having an issue with the logging contract. Also, I believe I told you about, what was it, the Enquirer?
The National Enquirer?
There was money on the line for proof of an alien story.
Right, right. And this was in the wake of, well, it was the times after, oh, what was their names? Betty and Barney Hill.
And I read, or I had heard something, that Travis, his brother, and maybe even his dad, they were really big into the alien thing. So...
Right. So that's what led people and the authorities to believe they're just making all this up. It's one big old hoax.
So where was he?
Well, listen to this. The Betty and Barney Hill incident happened in 1961, and the movie for that incident aired on U.S. television on October 20th, 1975. You gotta be shitting me. 2 weeks before the Travis Walton thing. It aired on television.
So, sticking with all the things that make it seem a little shady, well, actually, I guess going against it. So, damn it, what is that guy's name who is trying to debunk him like crazy? Philip Klass? Is it Philip Klass, I think?
Oh, yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah,
so,
okay.
He allegedly went and offered these guys, I don't know if it was all the guys or a few of them or what, offered them $10,000 to just be like, just say it didn't happen. And nobody took the money.
That's what leads me to believe that these guys really experienced something out in
those
believe woods.
What they're saying actually happened.
Right. They did not accept this money, and from 1975 till today, those guys have maintained their story. Every single one of those guys that were out there, 7 different guys.
Let's say if they did it to get out of their contract or to postpone it or extend it or whatever, at this point, that's long gone.
Oh, yeah. They could get $10,000 from this Philip Klass guy right now.
I could be pulling this from the movie, too. But was Mike Rogers in some financial trouble?
I don't know if he was in financial trouble at the time. The movie portrayed some stuff, but I think they just Hollywooded up for the movie. I don't know. I didn't dig into any of the other guys. It was mostly just Travis's stuff.
I mean, that's enough.
You know, all the stuff he went through. So, what do you think? Did Travis Walton... Before we have our final thoughts, they did another study on Travis Walton. I don't know if it was right then, or if it was, is it ARPO or APRO?
I don't know.
What's that? I can't remember what that is, but somebody did a test on Travis Walton himself, and they discovered that the ketones?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the ketos or the ketones in Travis's...
The ketones, yeah. You can test that through urine, I don't know how they tested it, but you can do it through urine.
And that, the result of that was he hadn't eaten in 5 days.
Was it high ketones? I think it's high ketones.
Whatever it was, but it correlated with his story that he had not physically eaten anything in 5 days.
He was severely dehydrated as well.
Right. So from that place in the forest, about that area, it's 3 to 5 miles to Heber, Arizona. It's 3 to 5 miles to town that would not take 5 days to walk to.
But if it was a hoax, if they set it up, I could see that happening. You know, you're out in the woods, you're just trying to lay low. Of course, I don't know how. There's no way he would have been able to lay low in the woods.
No, because they had a massive search party.
And, shit, I don't remember how much is from the movie and how much is from research. But it was, like, a huge search party. Like, I'm pretty sure they had at least one or two helicopters. This man was not hiding in the woods.
There was no way he was hiding in those woods at all. They would have noticed him. This was November. I mean, it was Arizona, but it was probably still freaking cold at night. So dude had to have a fire. Dude had to eat something somewhere. He's not just getting chicken nuggets out of the stream.
And I mean, I don't know.
If his test came back as, you know, as positive for some kind of food, as positive for some kind of nutrition, okay, that would be more, that would definitely lead into skepticism, and we wouldn't even be talking about this today. But his test came back as not eating for a period of time, for multiple days.
If I'm doing it as a hoax or whatever, I'm gonna be eating leaves, I'm gonna eat grass, whatever. I'm gonna have to put something in my belly for 5 days.
Yeah, something. He had nothing, right?
It was either nothing or it was very, very little. I don't remember which. But I don't know. I don't really know how to call this.
My thing is I'm gonna say that something happened in those woods that night to cause those guys to freak out. I don't know where Travis went. Those guys maintain their story.
Yeah, their story was just a small snippet of the actual story, too. You know what I mean? Like, they saw the craft, boom, they saw him get zapped. The majority of the story is what happened to this guy.
Right. And as a timeline, it's not a whole lot. What he experienced, wherever he experienced, according to the story, does not cover 5 days. Right. It only covers a few hours. If maybe he woke up in a panic because they didn't know how to keep him sedated for multiple days, and then they finally got him back to sedation, and then they kept him a few more days, and then finally put him on the highway and said, "Listen here, buddy, wake up, you're on the highway."
Listen to this. What if, I'm going to go back to time travel, what if because they did go out in space, time went quicker here on Earth? Maybe he wasn't gone 5 days his time. Maybe it was 5 days our time here on Earth. Oh, but how does that explain the beard?
I was working my way there. How does that explain the beard? How does that explain 5 days of, well, how does that explain multiple days of malnutrition?
So what the fuck? I mean, we know what happened. I mean, was he unconscious that long? And then we just know, We just know the end of his story. Maybe he was unconscious for days.
Well, his thoughts are that maybe he was just in the wake of them taking off.
Exactly.
And he was just this thing that happened, and they're like, "Oh man, we can't just leave this broken creature out here. We got to go fix him." So they take him up, and they patch them back together because somehow whatever their engines did to him, somehow it damaged him quite a lot. Whatever it did, busted him up, but they patched him back up and he was fine after 5 days. You know, whatever their amazing healing abilities are, here, take this pill, grow new liver, or whatever it was.
That's cool as shit, man.
Did you ever see the Star Trek movies?
Yeah, I mean, wait. Yeah, I saw the first one, I think.
I think it was Star Trek The New Generation. It was a full-length movie. It was one of my favorite ones because it brought the old school William Shatner crew and Scotty and all them together with Patrick Stewart and Captain Picard and his crew. It brought them together in one movie, and it was like a weird time travel thing, and William Shatner, his doctor on their Enterprise, they were in our modern times at the time, like the 90s or whatever, late 90s, early 2000s, and this hospital was full. So I think, was his name Bones? I don't know. Anyway, the medical doctor, this woman was suffering in the hallway of some hospital somewhere because there were so many patients in so many places and they couldn't put her in a room. And she's like, oh, the doctor told me my kidneys are failing or pancreas or whatever. And he's like, here, take this pill. It'll just grow you a new organ. He's just like, he's done with all these people around him. Take this pill. It'll grow you a new kidney.
Full of stem cells.
Just a pill of stem cells. And later on, she's like, oh my God, it was a miracle. I have a whole new kidney and I have nothing wrong with me. It's a miracle. And he's just like, no, it's not. It's from the 25th century or whatever.
You know what's kind of scary to think about? What if we are the most intelligent life? What if there is other life, but we are the most intelligent? Isn't that kind of disheartening?
Yes. Because now we're like, now literally all we see out there is lights.
I mean, yeah, like, there could be, like, some monkeys on another planet or whatever. But, like, what if we are the most intelligent? So, like, because I like to think about this, like, basically for that same thing. Like, there could be, like, another super, super advanced race comes here and just, they're like, yo, dude, what are you, cancer? What do you mean? Like, here, we can fix that. Just, yeah.
Yeah, no big deal.
But, like, what if we are the most intelligent? That's horrifying.
Yes, because Bill Nye has said it before. Who are we and where do we come from? Are we alone and where do we come from?
I'm going on record now. We're not alone. Mathematically speaking, I don't think it's even possible. The vast size of the universe, all the quote-unquote habitable planets. And that's just life as we know it. There could be other life that doesn't have to be in the Goldilocks zone. That doesn't have to... Yeah, I mean, so this might not be something to bring up in this episode, but I'm going to do it anyway because I just heard it the other day, and it's super fascinating. Why aren't we better adapted to this planet? As humans, we have to wear clothes or we freeze to death. Or we get sunburn. Yeah. Why aren't we better adapted if we evolved here?
Huh.
Or were we put here by an alien race? Did we come here from Mars?
That's a good one. Somehow we only feel comfortable if we're in the... Well, I know I do. The mid-range temperature.
Yeah.
Like 60 to 80 degrees Fahrenheit. That feels comfortable. But we wear clothes because we're shy and we're modest.
Well, for warmth and protection.
We don't want our dangly bits getting snagged on any twigs.
No other species does that because they're adapted for their environment. Why aren't we? Why aren't we?
Even the white marshmallowy figures in Travis's story are wearing orange jumpsuits.
Well, that's a good point.
So what level, if we're going with that theory, at what level... Are they modest about their reproductive organs? Are they wearing that for protection? Or are they wearing that for comfort? I guess it would fall under protection of the environment.
Protection from the environment.
Yeah, too much heat or too much cold. Yeah, your dangly bits are a little sensitive.
Yeah.
You got to put them behind some orange jumpsuits.
I don't know, man. It's weird.
You're right, though. Why aren't we more evolved for this environment? Yeah.
I know we got way off topic there.
Yeah, you know it. And we're not even done.
No, not done.
Nope. we posed a question.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't answer it yet, and I guess I didn't necessarily answer it either.
Oh, that's true. Well,
did Walton experience it? Did that happen to him? Did he hang out with these orange jumpsuit sons of bitches? Did he see these humans on this non-earthly type spaceship? Did he sit in that chair and try to fly the freaking Flight of the Navigator type shit? Flight of the Navigator didn't happen for at least a decade after that, right? Is that when that happened? I don't know. Anyway, Pee Wee Herman was the voice of the Flight of the Navigator, blah, blah, blah. Move on.
Yes, it happened.
Well, it happened. Something definitely happened because these guys have not said no to this story in 40 years.
I think some of the stuff is a little strange. The logging contract, they're behind schedule, and then boom, this happens. The Betty and Barney Hill thing. The movie aired 2 weeks before this happened. A little strange. There's too much stuff to point towards, for me, that it actually happened. There's too much. I can't deny that something happened to him.
And all the guys agree that something happened that night.
And they didn't get rich. They didn't get famous off of this. I mean, I guess Travis made out okay. These other guys didn't do shit. And they were offered 10 grand to just be like, hey, say it's fake. Say it was a hoax. And they're not doing it.
And no. See, there's enough of those hangups that I believe something definitely happened that night to this guy. But we pose that question to our fellow podcast in ye old Pod Nation.
We sure did.
And we got some responses back. They're pretty interesting. So from the ladies at Good Luck Sleeping. If you want to find these ladies, they are GL Sleeping at they are on Twitter at GL Sleeping, and you go to Podchaser, find them, Good Luck Sleeping. And I've been thinking about this since they answered this question, and since I've been listening to their shows, I've listened to quite a few of these. Look, Matt, if you like our show, and if you want a female perspective on the same types of stuff that we talk about, listen to these ladies, Good Luck Sleeping. Because it's just a couple of ladies, and they talk about almost the exact same things we talk about, and they don't care how crazy it might seem to other people. Like, they talked about Mandela Effect, they talked about shadow people, they talked about the black-eyed kids. It's a little uncanny how much they've talked about similar to what we talk about.
Hey, it's all popular stuff, man. It's all stuff that needs to be answered.
Yeah.
But we're not getting answers. We can't find answers.
No.
And there's people who are ignorant to it, who don't care. They don't listen. They're, you know what I mean? That's why we bring it out there to them. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that don't even know about some of the stuff we talk about. Like I said at the beginning of this one, one of the guys I work with, he wasn't even aware of who this Travis Walton guy was. So maybe we'll bring a different light to him. But anyway, the ladies at Good Luck Sleeping, I said, you know, how do you feel about the Travis Walton incident? And this is what they had to say. Okay, Travis Walton, I read up on him, and I think he faked it. My reasons being that aliens had just become a thing around that time, so it was popular and much more accepted to say you were abducted. They probably knew they could get money for it, and the multiple failed polygraphs just confirms to me he wasn't telling the truth. It also makes no sense why humans would be with the aliens and working with them. Never heard that before regarding any alien abduction.
Well, that part, you and I both said we don't think it was a human. That I assume
it could have been the police.
Yeah, I assume what she or they are talking about is the human type figure he saw, but never spoke to him. The guy never spoke back. If he was another human, don't you think he's going to say something like, all right, calm down. No, this is fine. This is normal. But he was another human and he just ignored him?
The guy with the helmet on totally ignored him. And then when they got into the other room, the others, it was two women, right, in the other room?
No, it was a guy and a girl, I think. Or was it two guys and a girl? No, it wasn't two women. It was at least a guy and a girl. Because there's a artist rendition, and it shows like a muscled guy standing next to a female.
One man and a woman. Yeah, okay. But they totally ignored him. Like, they didn't have any idea what he was talking about. Like, he was just some animal. They couldn't comprehend or couldn't communicate with.
Right. Should I move on to the next one?
Yeah. So, that was Good Luck Sleeping. So, if you want to find them, GL Sleeping on Twitter, Good Luck Sleeping on everything else, Spotify, Facebook, all that.
They're pretty good, man. They interact with us a lot. We appreciate them. So, definitely check them out.
Oh, yeah.
The next one is from Ransack History Podcast. And on Twitter, they are at Ransack History.
RANSACK. And it's Vicky from Ransack History. And I like this show, too. It's good. It's a good show.
I have not checked this show out yet, but I'm definitely going to. I just, my podcast list is so long, like, I'm trying to get to these newer shows, I'm not saying this is a newer show, but new to me, so Vicky says, "Hey guys, Vicky from Ransack History here. In response to your question about Travis Walton, from a historical perspective, there are depictions of extraterrestrial interaction with humans from over 10,000 years ago. It's been theorized that abductions have taken place throughout history, and ancient cultures saw it as an honor to be chosen, and those who returned were treated with reverence. With that said, I believe it is completely possible that someone could be abducted for an extended period of time and returned, quote-unquote, safely in one piece. Now, as for the full account given by Travis Walton, I'm skeptical. But if true, it's truly harrowing. Hope this is the type of response you're looking for. Please let me know if you need anything else. Happy podcasting."
See, it's been...
It's another skeptic.
Yeah, years and years, well, millennia of depictions of extraterrestrial interaction.
I mean, it's in stone carvings, it's in, all the ancient art we find.
Right.
What is it? What would it be?
What else could it be? Well, like you said, if we are the intelligent race in the universe, if we are the most intelligent race in the universe, did we figure out time travel? And did we go back and continuously mess with our past? We'll go back here and we test these ones. We'll take a core sample of these beings.
I think it was yesterday I thought of this. The multiple dimensions. What is it? The multiverse theory. What if... So there's a universe for everything. Every outcome. What if one of those universes, the species developed a way to traverse universes? But we haven't. That's not in our universe. We can't do it. But that universe, they can. And they show up here.
Oh. So they just pop in and be like, "Whoa, this is... Look at this primitive... Look at these primitive apes."
So... In our universe, it can't be done. In another universe, it can be done, and it has been done, and it has been going on for thousands of years.
Pop in, check stuff out, they pop out. We're just part of the museum.
Yeah, they're like, "Ha, these guys can't do it, but we can. Ha, check them out."
We're just a flea circus.
What if they are us from another, another universe? They evolved.
They developed in a different way. They developed not using fossil fuels. They developed using some other sort of energy to just bebop along different universes.
Yeah.
And we're just dumbasses. We have these combustion engines on our planet, and that's as far as we've gotten.
I don't know, man.
Real nice. See, that's where this humans interacted with extraterrestrials for the last 10,000 years. It's already happened. We've already been interacting with them. And they're just coming in and checking us out. And then now they've come to a point, okay, well, listen, the ant farm's gotten to a point where you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to let them know that you know they're there.
Prime directive, right? Like, they can't interact with,
A lesser culture and or whatever.
If they're multidimensional or, you know, they can traverse the universe, ladies and gentlemen, we are below them.
So if we're seeing them pop in and out of the sky, just whenever, willingly, the Navy just went through that. The Air Force just went through that or whatever they were. With this weird pill-shaped thing.
Yeah.
It just zipped in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tic-tac thing. It just popped in and out wherever it wanted to. If that can do it, we're just
a
toy. That's yes. all we are. We're just prairie dogs poking in and out of the holes.
We better get to this movie, man. People are not... They probably already turned this off. They're like 6 hours. what is this thing going to be? Like 30 right. hours long? My God.
We're working on it. All right. The other person who answered the question is, I'm going to guess it's Linda from Cage's Kiss, but it could be Donnie or it could be Adrian.
I didn't even see this one.
Sure. But I'm pretty sure it's Linda from Cage's Kiss. Whoever it was, Cage's Kiss. I personally believe him. His story hasn't changed in all these years, although his theory has. He now believes that they didn't mean him any harm, but he got out of the car and into the light. So he thinks it's like hitting an animal in the road, patching it up, and bringing it back. The movie scarred me for life, but he said they took a lot of liberties and it's not accurate. That's an understatement.
We're going to get into that in just a minute.
Later on, whoever this was from Cage's Kiss, I'm pretty sure it was Linda. They met Travis Walton himself in McMinnville, Oregon. How's that? So this UFO fest, which if we ever get some money to travel, bring on the Weird World Tour, is going to McMinnville, Oregon for the UFO fest for damn sure.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And if we meet Travis Walton, woohoo, boy.
I'm ready for Alien Con, dude. We got to go to Alien Con.
At the very least, we're going to go to the Mothman Fest in West Virginia.
Hell yeah, that's not very far from me.
No. It's right across the way.
So?
We really shouldn't take another break. I don't think we're going to. We're going to power through.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this movie.
Yeah, it's not going to take long. Just.
No. Because that's what I got. That's what I got to say about
that. I would have went with a double. So.
It really didn't. It didn't tell me anything.
The movie, in case you guys don't know, it's called Fire in the Sky.
That was the title of his book.
Yeah,
too,
I believe it was.
And then Hollywood is like, girl, we're going to glam this the fuck up.
It was, directed by Robert Lieberman, right?
You know what he directed before that? All I Want for Christmas.
I don't know what that is.
I never saw it myself, but, one of the cast members was Leslie Nielsen, and he was Santa Claus. Leslie Nielsen as Santa Claus.
I'm out.
Early 90s.
I mean, why don't we do one with Gary Busey as Santa Claus next? Like, what the heck?
Did you see the one with, I can't remember his name. Kurt Russell.
Oh, that was, Christmas Chronicles, right?
Yeah, it was on Netflix. They did a second part. Or they're going to, anyway.
I like when he was rocking out in a jail cell, dude. Kurt Russell can break it down.
He was Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Did you watch that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Guardians of the Galaxy? Did you? Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, I'm sure I did. I've seen all those movies.
It was the latest Marvel movie. One of the latest Marvel movies. It was hilarious. He was the planet trying to... Anyway, Robert Lieberman, after Fire in the Sky, he directed D3, The Mighty Ducks. Did you ever watch that one?
Yeah, I have.
Come on. That was a good one.
I mean, when you're a kid, It's a cool movie.
So anyway, Fire in the Sky is a movie.
The book was called The Walton Experience.
Is that all it was called? All right.
So, you want to talk about the main actors? Or you want to just skip that?
Yeah. Yeah, we should. D.B. Sweeney was Travis Walton. I didn't really know who D.B. Sweeney was until... I think he did a Fox show after The X-Files. Fox was like, oh shit, The X-Files is ending. What are we going to do? I think that was the time they did the show. Damn it, what the hell was it? It was a show in along the lines of The X-Files, but I feel like D.B. Sweeney's done that kind of stuff for Strange Luck. That's what it was. So it was 95 to 96. I liked that show when it was on, and then it just ended after a year.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, that was the one I really liked. And then later on, he was in the show Jericho, where the world, pretty much it was the apocalypse of the world, but, you know, non-zombie apocalypse. Something crazy happened, destroyed the world governments. It was a good show. It was like an event series. And Mr. Robert Patrick was Mike Rogers. Do you know what he did right before Fire in the Sky?
No.
He was T-1000 in Terminator 2.
Really?
Yeah, that was him. You know what? I just thought about this. Damn it. I wanted to say this before. Got distracted. Linda from Cage's Kiss, the Cage's Kiss podcast. Sorry. So if you just look up Cage's Kiss on everything, they do a podcast about Nicolas Cage movies, and they're trying to do it in his timeline. Nicolas Cage podcast that discusses the insanity and wisdom of the National Treasure one masterpiece at a time. National Treasure being Nicolas Cage himself. We also go on fun, non-Cage movie history tangents. We research Nick Cage so you don't have to. I just wanted to get that out there. I think it's great. It's so weird. Nick Cage just inserts himself into all these things and somehow it works. Anyway. Robert Patrick, before he was Mike Roger in Fire in the Sky, he was T-1000. And I find that freaking hilarious. And he goes from T-1000 to this dude in Fire in the Sky. And then Craig Schaefer plays Alan Dallas. Peter Berg plays David Whitlock. Henry Thomas is Greg Hayes. Bradley Gregg is Bobby Cogdale. Noble Willingham. It was Blake Davis, the cop that they went to. Who are the other guys?
I don't know. I was just thinking, like, the main...
Right. Well, that's what I mean. So who are the guys in the crew? Dwayne Smith? Was that one of them?
Was Dwayne Smith one?
John Goulet. I don't think he was in the movie.
Yeah, maybe that's the one they cut out. So I assume they cut the seventh guy out because six fit better in a truck, right? why cut the seventh out? Yeah,
that I'm not sure about.
If you want to go from seven to four, fine. I could kind of understand that. Four people look better in a truck, but why cut the seventh out?
I don't know. Maybe he had nothing to do with anything.
Well, maybe not, I guess. I mean...
Ken Peterson. Was he... I don't think he was portrayed either, was he? Well, who did they end up cutting out? I don't know, but they really focused on Travis Walton, Mike Rogers, Alan Dallas, and David Whitlock. Greg Hayes?
I mean, I don't know.
They really didn't focus on too many of the other guys. They were there in the background, but this movie really did not live up to... I'm not a fan of the movie.
Me either. Look, they completely got the part wrong about when he woke up on the ship.
Oh my god.
What the fuck was that? Like, what was that?
We're leading up to that. Everything was fine. Okay, fine. Maybe he had some issues starting the truck and he picked up all the boys on the way to the forest. They got out there, started cutting down trees, and Alan Dallas pulled his shit.
Yeah, that all seems to match up.
Yeah, they just kind of glossed over all that stuff. And then they get to at the end of the day, they're leaving, and then what they showed in the movie was Travis Walton already asleep in the passenger seat on, you know, that side of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
He was napping at the end of the day. They're keyed up. They're already, their adrenaline's pumping. I guess you could nap, but you're just going over all these water bars, all these giant speed bumps. You're not going to nap. I think that was, why would they show him napping? That was the first thing I'm like,
yeah,
well, that's bullshit. But then they started seeing this fire in the sky, and sure enough, Travis Walton's already out of the truck, going over to check this thing out, and then it lifted him up, didn't it? Or did it freeze him in place?
Well, it
froze him in place.
It looked like it pushed him. Froze him in place and kind of like lifted him up and threw him.
But he didn't land on anything like concussive or anything. He just landed in grass.
It could have been a rock there. I don't know, but.
And then he was gone. And then we see the guys go to their favorite bar in Snowflake. So all of a sudden, those guys are just there, and they're just in shock. Oh, man, Mike, you look kind of sick, man. What's the matter, Mike? Well, kitchen's already closed, Mike.
Fucking Travis is gone!
What? Then, uh-oh. Here he comes. Here comes old James Garner. Frank Waters himself comes strolling in. Was this the morning after? No, it was still the night. It was still the night when, in the movie, Blake Davis calls Frank Waters, the big detective guy. Calls him in, and he's his tough guy. He doesn't want anything to do with Alan Dallas. Alan Dallas did it. He's the one that murdered Travis Walton, left his body out in that field. And that's it. That's all he wants to hear. It's all he needs to know. And then, I mean, then they bring in, who was the guy? Some random dude comes up to Mike Rogers days later when everybody is on Mike Rogers' case about Travis being missing. It was funny. I saw it. I'm like, oh, my God, that's the dude from the ARPO or APRO. And then his credentials say AFAR.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, I forget what he said his name was.
I can't remember, but it was just, I thought it was so stupid.
The movie?
Oh, no, the guy, was it Raymond? No. Anyway, whoever it was, that whole idea was kind of dumb. The guy from AFAR, and then Mike Rogers having difficulties with his wife. That was never brought up in anything that Travis had to say.
No, it wasn't. They just had to Hollywood it up, like you said.
Yeah. But then, when Travis got back, they showed him coming back before they actually showed what happened to him. And he called her, Mike Rogers' wife.
Yeah.
Katie Rogers. Called in the middle of the night, and she's like, it's just these crazy callers, they're calling all hours of the night. And then Mike answers the phone and realizes it's Travis. So Mike is the one that gets the call. So he calls Katie for some reason, or he calls Mike. I guess he's mm-hmm. calling for Mike from this payphone in Heber. And then they find him, and he's just huddled. The gas station's closed. He's just huddled under near the door of the gas station.
Next to, like, an ice chest or something.
Yeah.
He's completely naked. Like, right. Just, yeah, he's a mess.
That's hilarious. And then what happened after that? Well, they got him back, and they were excited that he was back.
They threw him a party.
Yeah, then he was not ready for the party.
No, he wasn't. He kept having these, like, weird flashbacks, too. Like, where he wasn't fully remembering, but he was partially remembering what was happening. And then, like, I guess they were at the party, and he's like, oh, F this. And he, like, went in the kitchen and, like, hid under the table, like, lost his mind.
Right.
And they're like, syrup had spilled on the table, and it kept dramatically showing the syrup running towards the edge of the table, and then it dripped, it went into his mouth, and he said, oh, shit, I remember now, because he remembered that taste in his mouth, some goo.
And somehow it goes back to him being in this weird cocoon thing?
This goo? Look, this is where this movie goes off the fucking rails, people. This is nothing all like what he described. He wakes up. it's like a cocoon, yeah. He's covered in this slime shit. There's like this weird elastic membrane over the hole, the opening. He
hive?
Shoves his hand through, rips this thing open. Completely yeah, he gets closed. Out, and next thing you know, he's weightless.
Okay, fine. You know, we're in space, anti-gravity, all that.
It doesn't make any sense, because it's not at all what he said it was.
No. This is where it completely lost me.
I mean, he basically described a clean room, like an operating room, but the movie makes it look like it was, I don't know.
Okay.
So, the aliens sort of look like what he described.
Only barely, but they have these, like, suits on, these masks.
Yeah, because he did get into an area where he was like, he, like, saw him and he was like, spacesuits. But then, like, one of these spacesuits starts moving behind him. Like, tries to get him. And he's like, and he starts, like, climbing through this hole.
Climbs up this thing.
And then they get him.
And then, they get him. And then all of a sudden, that's when we cut back to Mike. It actually grabs him by his ankle. We cut back to Mike in the living room with Katie. And the phone rings. And that's when he made the phone call. And then he's at the party. No, we see that. Is that when they cut back to Mike? Or was that before?
No. This is when they cut back.
Yeah, that was before. That was before. They get him, and then all of a sudden we flash forward 2.5 years.
Not quite, because he wakes up in the hypnotherapist's office, because he got the regression, I guess, or whatever it was. And that's when, what the hell is that? That officer's name, the investigator, Waters, right?
Frank Waters or Blake Davis? Frank Waters.
No, known by that. No, because Waters walks out with the sheriff or whatever, and he says pretty convincing or whatever. And he was like, yeah, but he'll slip up. And he said, call me when he does, and I'll be right back here. And the guy was like, all the way from Minnesota? Or Michigan, or where, Montana? And he said, I'll come from wherever the hell I am. And then he drives off. And Waters is gone. Oh, and then, then it goes, like, 2.5 years later.
And suddenly they have a 2-year-old, and Dana Rogers is 3 months pregnant with another one. And then finally Travis Walton goes to find Mike somewhere in some cabin.
I guess
that guy
lost his shit after this, and he was like, screw this, nobody believes me. Like, he just lost. That's because it was, they didn't talk, because when he went to visit Travis in the hospital, you remember he told him, he was like, yeah, we went back for you. And he was like, he like looked over at him, he's like, you left me? And then he was like, like, Mike gets mad at Travis. He's like, you son of a bitch, you shouldn't have got out of the truck. Like, all right, but this dude just got back from a freaking journey. Cut him some slack.
Right. And now he's all pissed off at him. Come on. That's, the movie lost me in some scenes.
That's basically it, right?
It may have been fine for some generations of people, but
it might be fine for people who don't know the Travis Walton story. But if you know the Travis Walton story, you hated the movie. You did not enjoy it.
Probably.
It was not right.
No. All right. I believe we should probably end it now.
Yeah, I think so.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
You know where to find us. Bring on the Weird on all the things. @ Bring on the Weird on Twitter, facebook.com/Bring on the Weird. If you want to tell us about, you got an alien abduction story? Bring on the Weird@gmail.com. How do you feel about Travis Walton?
Yeah, let us know. For sure.
And with that, stay weird, world.
Yep, and we'll see you next time.